Hello, Miss Strachan.
Hi, Mr. Grimmett. What we're going to talk about is the characters in A Christmas Carol. And I think what we should do is we should probably start with some of the minor characters and then we can go to some of the main ones.
Okay, so maybe we could talk about Belle to start with. What do you know about Belle?
Well, she is Scrooge's girlfriend, and we see her in the second stave in A Christmas Carol. And when she's young, Scrooge actually speaks to her about... sees her in the past, and they're speaking about separating as a result of the fact that Scrooge has changed. He's become very
talked about
wealth.
Yeah, and he's changed a lot, and it talks about Belle talks about his noble aspirations falling off one by one until the master passion, gain, is left. And Belle really just serves to, I guess, show how just what Scrooge has lost, really, that because of his interest in money, he ends up losing her. And she even asks him, I think, about, would you still have come after me now with your interest in money? And he can't really answer her. And I think that almost signals to her that maybe he's not the right person for her. He's become so obsessed with money.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's a shame, actually, because he recognises that when he's looking back, but he doesn't recognise it at the time. So he loses one of the best things in his life as a result of his selfishness.
Mm.
So Belle...
And it's shown later as well, isn't it? Because we see when the ghost of Christmas past... It is still the ghost of Christmas past, shows Scrooge what he could have had with Belle when they're settling down together, Belle with her new husband and the kids. And in particular, there's a daughter there that Scrooge thinks, okay, that could have been mine. And the ghost of Christmas past shows Scrooge that family environment with the love of his life that he could have had, but he didn't. But he missed out on it.
Yeah, he didn't appreciate it when he had it, which was a shame. And that brings us also to Fred, I think.
Because
Fred, obviously, is his nephew. Mm. And his sister, Little Fan, died in childbirth.
Mm.
And I think Fred is quite important because he could have had that family with Fred if he'd included himself in Fred's life.
Yeah, and Fred's been really, really keen from the start as well. When he comes round, kind of inviting him for Christmas dinner, he's been so persistent. And he's such a jolly, happy character in the midst of Scrooge being kind of resistant and unpleasant to him all the time. Fred is still determined to try and get him along for Christmas dinner, but at first, Scrooge isn't interested, is he? But then the ghost of Christmas past shows him about Fan and what Fan, Fred's mother, and what did Fan do again?
Well, she arrived at the boarding school where Scrooge was staying and took him back home for Christmas. So even
it's a really positive memory for him, wasn't it?
Yeah. Even in the past, he had felt a little bit left out and isolated. But actually his sister had brought him back in and made him part of the family again.
Mm.
So stopping him from feeling that isolation.
And he slowly realises after that he should actually be nicer to Fred and be kinder to him. And it's just one of the early seeds that is kind of sown in Scrooge that he does need to change. And he does act on that change. Fred, again, quite an important character because he comes back at the end. Comes back in at the end when Scrooge decides to go round to his house for dinner. And also there's another moment with Fred, isn't there, in the middle, where they're joking around at the party. Is that Ghost of Christmas present?
Yeah, that's in the present. And Scrooge sees Fred and the whole family together having a laugh actually at Scrooge's expense.
Mm.
And he recognises that actually that's his own fault.
Mm.
That, you know, really he has...
He's become like a monster to them almost.
Yeah, he's a parody, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a bit of a joke.
Mm.
But they would still welcome him back in to the family, even if he was willing to go, but because of the way he's behaved up till that point. He's just not there.
Yeah, good. Okay, so that maybe takes us on to the Cratchits. We talk about them again. You know, another kind of minor character, but still a very crucial family to to the story of A Christmas Carol. Maybe we could talk about Bob to start with, perhaps, yeah. And what he's like at the beginning.
Yeah, I think Bob's really hard working. He kind of represents the middle class workers who, or working class, who actually work really, really hard but don't really get paid very much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he doesn't complain about it. He just gets on with it. He's very
I suppose he couldn't complain because he'd be concerned about losing his job as well.
Yeah, and he's really poor. He doesn't have a lot of money, doesn't have enough money, and it just emphasises, because he works for Scrooge, it emphasises how families at the time had quite a lot of children but needed to be supporting their family but actually couldn't really afford to.
Yeah, and Cratchit's and Bob's kind of plight is Scrooge's fault. Scrooge doesn't pay him very well at all. Bob's working conditions as well, with the Scrooge only giving him one coal for the fire, he's treated pretty poorly, which again, you know, links to the working conditions in the factories and the offices at the time. Often people didn't have very much.
Yeah, and I think as well that with Bob Cratchit, he just shows the kindness and the goodness in people, because regardless of how Scrooge treats him, he still will go back into work. He will still toast Scrooge during their family meal, even though the rest of the family don't want to toast Scrooge.
Yeah.
Bob Cratchit toasts him as a result.
It's almost similar to Fred as well, yeah. Bob does a toast to him, Fred still does a toast to him.
I think the Dickens is trying to emphasise the difference in the way that people behave, and that there is goodness in the society, and that's emphasised by the Cratchits, Bob, and by Fred, and by Tiny Tim as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with Bob as well, that goodness is there. It's not immediately shared by Bob's wife or the rest of his family as well, because Bob's wife says about, I'd like to give him a piece of my mind and hope he'd have a good appetite for it. And that, because again, when the name of Scrooge is mentioned in the Christmas dinner party, and Scrooge is showing this to a ghost of Christmas present, it talks about the atmosphere going sour, and Scrooge is like the ogre of the family. But Bob is adamant that they should still toast him, because he's given them something. He's given them, you know, the enough, just enough to have kind of a house over, a roof over their heads. And
yeah, and perhaps that links to the idea that, you know, they recognise that they are lucky to have anything, because there are other families that just
anything
have
worse.
Nothing. They really don't have anything at all.
Yeah. The Cratchits are, a lovely family as well. We see that kind of sense of togetherness. I think you talked earlier about the big family, and they all chip in. Martha goes out to work.
She's the washerwoman,
isn't she? Yeah. And the older lad, it's Peter, isn't it?
Yeah, Peter.
Peter goes off to work. So they're all chipping in and coming home to that one house. They haven't got their own house, can't afford that. They're all contributing to the household. And that Christmas dinner is quite an event, really, isn't it?
Yeah. They're joyful and happy and supportive of each other. And that's, a direct contrast to the way that Scrooge's family seem to behave. And I think, you know, the Cratchits are also quite religious, because Tiny Tim says, God bless us, everyone. You know, he's obviously living in poverty, malnourished, not able to...
And crippled, disabled.
Crippled. And they don't have money to help Tiny Tim.
No.
But he doesn't care about that. He only cares about everybody being okay. So
because when he says in church, doesn't he, that he just hopes that, and Bob is amazed by this, that Tiny Tim turns around and says that when people see him, they hope they remember the people that Jesus did heal and can save, and, you know, not even thinking about his own condition, but just that actually people should remember God and remember the kind of the religious message there. And Scrooge promises at the end of the novel to be a good father to Tiny Tim.
He does become like a father figure.
That
links into the ghost, doesn't it? Because we see the ghost of the present showing us the ghostly crutch in the corner of where Tiny Tim used to sit, and you know, he was showing us that Tiny Tim would die if Scrooge doesn't change his ways, because it's directly linked to the way that Scrooge behaves, the fact that the Cratchits don't have enough money to feed or to help Tiny Tim out.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe we'll just talk about the ghosts briefly as well. Hopefully, listener, we haven't got time to talk about Scrooge on this one, but we're linking to Scrooge, obviously, with all the discussion of the minor characters. We've talked about a bit about the Ghost of Christmas Past. How would you say the Ghost of Christmas Past and Christmas Present are different?
The Ghost of Christmas Past has the light coming from his head.
That's a good point.
I think that represents, what has gone, and the fact that, you can't get it back, perhaps.
But also, yes, that it can't get it back when the cap goes over his head.
Yeah.
But also, he tries to take his cap off at one point in there, and that light that comes out of it, I think that's almost the light into the past, and he's shining a light. Kind of Dickens is symbolically representing him as having a light that Scrooge needs to recognise, because if Scrooge doesn't kind of accept that light and recognise just what a strong, powerful, bright impact his past had on him, and that's lost and the cap is put on it, then there's no hope for his change and redemption in the future.
It is that enlightenment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Scrooge needs to be enlightened.
Yes.
And that's what the Ghost of Christmas Past represents, that enlightenment of his past. And then
good present.
The present is a kind of jolly, jovial, all-giving ghost who described as quite fat, surrounded by lots of food.
It's like a Santa figure, almost.
Yeah, like a Santa figure. Really lovely, and this is what Scrooge could become like if he recognised that his wealth could be used to do some good.
Yeah, and the Ghost of Christmas Present shows us some of the parties, like the Fezziwig. Sorry, not Fezziwig, that's in Ghost of Christmas Past. Christmas Present is all about the Cratchit family, isn't it?
Yeah, and also sprinkling the good cheer
on the meals of the poor.
And Scrooge doesn't quite understand why he's doing that.
Yeah.
The ghost is doing that, but he's saying, that regardless of how poor they are, they all deserve to have something good on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody deserves to have some kind of goodness, and when he walks through those people, they obviously can't see him, but they immediately start to cheer up and become jollier and happier.
They do, and Scrooge and the Ghost of Christmas Present shows so many different places where people are becoming happier. In the midst of the bleakest surroundings, in on the lighthouse, kind of in the moors, in the middle of nowhere, the ends of the earth, on the ship, everyone is celebrating Christmas in some way. Doing a cheers with their cans of beer and everything, and they've got someone at Christmas time.
Yeah, even in the midst of some of the worst storms, they're still celebrating.
And Scrooge has got no one
Scrooge,
to do that with. Ghost of Christmas Future briefly as well to wrap up.
Yeah, the ghost of, I always describe him as a Grim Reaper.
Mm.
He's very sinister.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Black hooded cloak, you can't see his face, all you can see is a point in hand.
Mm.
And I think, it's trying to represent pointing to the future, if you don't change your ways, this is exactly what's going to happen to you. And obviously the ghost of the future reveals the deathbed with Scrooge under it, and Scrooge is too scared, but also he reveals the grave at the end.
Yeah.
And also I think the ghost of
And the businessman as well, who couldn't care less about this person who's died's funeral. They're just interested in lunch, really, which kind of maps to how Scrooge was at the beginning, where he couldn't care less about even his own business partner's funeral. He was striking deals on Jacob Marley's funeral as well. So it almost comes back to haunt him, really, there, that Scrooge's... Scrooge's own death is cared for by none, and he begs the Ghost of Christmas Future to show him someone who does care, and the only couple who are shown are a couple who have a debt to Scrooge.
Yeah.
And they're happy and excited because their debtor, the person they owe money to, Scrooge, is now dead.
And whoever comes along to look after them,
wouldn't be as bad,
wouldn't they? It could never be as bad, yeah. And I think the ghost of the Christmas future as well is the only ghost that Scrooge recognises he needs to listen to. And it links back to Marley at the start. He doesn't even really believe that Marley's there.
Yeah, that's true. He's very sceptical as me to start with, yeah.
Yeah.
And with Marley, with those chains as well, those are the chains that Scrooge could wear, all to do with money and things. And again, even though Scrooge is sceptical, the way Dickens describes Marley with those chains and things just, you know, shows that money isn't everything. And actually, you're going to have to walk. What a horrendous thing it would be to be able to have to live through all eternity carrying the chains of the sales boxes and the money boxes and things through all life, through all eternity, and suffer in that way. What a terrible thing that would be.
And I think it's symbolic, isn't it, that you can't take it with you when you die.
Yep.
You can't take it with you when
you've got to change in this life.
So you've got to do some, and you've got to do some good with the money that you have in this life, or else it's not going to go anywhere with you. You'll just be you'll be in purgatory, because that's essentially where Marley's ghost is.
Okay, good luck, Year 11. You're going to be brilliant.
And what we want you to remember
more than anything
is the structure of the when the ghosts come in. So we've got the ghost of Christmas past first.
Yeah.
Sorry, we've got Marley first.
Yeah.
The ghost of Christmas past. The ghost of present. The ghost of the future, and then we've got Scrooge's epiphany at the end, where he changes and becomes a better person, and he averts the course of what the ghosts have said will happen, which is his death, so he can live a happy life.